Galatians 5, 22 reads, I love this right here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is. So there's some things that are happening here. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. But then I love, watch this, drop down to verse number 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That means that we need to be in sync with the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit is moving, we need to be moving. As the Holy Spirit is going, we need to be going. There's a synchronicity that has to be there if we're going to be following Christ. I love this. Jesus, as he is ascending back to the throne, he says, before I go, I'm going to send you something. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm not going to leave you alone. I know that you think you're going to be by myself, but I'm not going to leave you alone. And this is what he does. As Pastor Hayden said, he says that Jesus does this. He tags the Holy Spirit. Now, just in my crazy imagination, I think when the Holy Spirit gets tagged, he's running in the ring of your life like the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania. That's how the Ultimate Warrior come here. Oh, brother, come on. That's how the Holy Spirit just wants to run and rule in your life. And so I am grateful for that today. So as we dive into this scripture, I'm super excited that the Holy Spirit comes to help us in every aspect of our life. As we look at this passage of scripture over the next couple of weeks, we'll get a glimpse of the many expressions of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Now, if we're going to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and not in the flesh, there should be some tangible evidence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, I'm getting your business a little bit right now. My daddy used to tell us, he says, I'm not judging you, but I am observing your fruit. God has made me a fruit inspector. Because if you're saying that you really love the Lord and that you've committed your life to the Lord, then there should be some evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. There should be some residuals, some evidence that we can see. And as we dive through this text, we'll find how the Holy Spirit gets to operate in our lives. If we're going to walk lockstep with the Holy Spirit, we should be able to see the Holy Spirit at work. Now, you need to notice right here. As we look at the fruit of the Spirit, I want you to realize that none of this fruit can be produced apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. No matter how much you do, no matter how much you try, no matter how strong you think you are, no matter how intelligent you think you are, some of y'all, no matter how I think you handsome you are, I know I'm a little handsome. I'm okay. My wife liked me. It's all right. But none of that things matters because it has to be the working of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that you can do. And that's what the problem comes in sometimes. We think that we have to do something, and it's got to be the work of the Holy Spirit. So as we dive into this today, I'm super excited about that. Last week, Pastor Hayden began to unpack this new series that we're in, and he started with the fruit of the Spirit with love. Everybody say love. And he gave us four things that the Holy Spirit, he says love recognizes God's love. We have to receive God's love. We have to reveal God's love, and this last one was so dear to my heart. We have to rest in God's love. God loved you enough to give you everything, so just rest in that. You ain't got to do nothing. You ain't got to be nothing special. You just got to rest in the love and the great grace that God has given us. And so today, I get the privilege of taking us to the next beautiful piece of fruit in this basket, which is joy. Somebody say joy. And the title of my message today is, The Joy of the Lord is My Strength. Come on, look at somebody and say, The Joy of the Lord is My Strength. Come on, really look at somebody and say, The Joy of the Lord is My Strength. Now, the Oxford Dictionary tells us that joy is defined like this. Watch this. It says, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Now, as I look at that and I think through that, I see that definition is somewhat incomplete. That's based on a worldly understanding of what they think joy is. But when we get down to it, the scriptures talk about it a little bit differently. And if I could talk to you a little bit, some of us, we attribute the word joy with happiness. We think those two words are synonymous. They're one and the same, and they're not. And that's why it's easy for your joy to be taken away from you, because it's not really joy, it's happiness. See, happiness can be turned on and turned off. You missed that one right there. But true joy can only be defined by the one who is joy and the one who created joy. And that's God. That's Jesus Christ. You can't give me the definition if you didn't make it. And because God is joy, he just doesn't give you joy. He is joy, and he created joy. That's where we should derive our definition of the word joy. Now, when I look at the biblical definition of joy, it looks totally different than the worldly definition of joy. The biblical definition, it begins with, it's a verb, it's action. Watch this right here. A supernatural expression deeply rooted in faith in Christ that looks to the future filled with the hope of Christ. That's the reason why when things ain't going right, you still got the joy on the inside. Because it's not predicated on my situation. It's not predicated on my circumstances. It's predicated on what God has already done. The joy of the Lord. See, the world's joy is based upon luck and chance and happenstance. This is what the world's joy looks like right here. They say you got to cross your fingers. You got to cross your legs. Got to hold your hand up just right. Put some aluminum foil on your pinky. You got to put one foot in the water. You got to be turned to the east on Tuesday morning. And if you blink your eye just right, then things will go your way. But the joy that we have, the hope that we have, I don't have to worry about. My hope is guaranteed. My joy is guaranteed. Why? Because it's in Christ. I don't have to wait for a situation or a circumstance. I can have the joy all the time. The joy that the Lord gives us is a confident certainty in Christ. My joy is guaranteed. Now, there's a huge difference between joy and happiness. Let me give you a couple of things about that. Joy is deeply rooted and anchored. Happiness is shallow and empty. Joy is enduring. Happiness is temporary. Joy is internal and eternal. Happiness is external and fleeting. Joy is Christ-centered. Happiness is self-centered. Joy is sacrificial. Happiness is selfishness. Joy looks to the future. Happiness looks to the present. Joy is based on what Christ has done. Happiness is based on what have you done for me lately. I knew somebody was going to give me that ooh, yeah. Happiness comes and goes, but joy is consistent and everlasting. Look at somebody and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If I could give you a reality statement, it would be this right here. Joy is not predicated on my situation or circumstances. It's substantiated by his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. My joy has hope. The joy that we are talking about today is sustained through various trials and tribulations, various storms and battles. It's not predicated on what is going on around me. Is predicated on who is around me, the great God of the universe. Now, I know you're saying, well, Mr. Preacher, I need to know what this joy looks like. Then you got to tell me a little bit. I'm glad you asked that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And it reads like this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Watch this one right here, though. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of the faith. If we're going to find out what joy is, we got to look to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If I could give you my first point would be, see the joy of the Lord. See the joy of the Lord. In order for us to be able to walk in the joy, we have to see how the joy is walked out. And in this text right here, we see it says this, for the joy that was set before him, the joy was set before the Lord. What was set before him? The cross. His death, his burial, his resurrection, all that was set before him. And he could look into that and see that. But the joy that was on the inside of him, he knew that if I don't do this, then Ethan is going to be lost forever. If I don't do this, then Marvin will never have an opportunity to come to me. Now, I'm going to let you know something. You didn't find Jesus. He found you. You know, some of y'all know that y'all wasn't looking for him. He came and found you in some of the craziest places. That's what I understand. It was what Jesus did, not what I did, that allows me to have this joy. And so as Jesus looks at the cross, as Jesus looks at this death, he's also looking past that to the future of you and I. His joy is the reconciliation of Marvin and Pastor Mike and Japper reconciled back to his father. That was his joy. His joy had a future. Look at your neighbor and say, my joy got a future. And so as we peruse through this, we see that he was looking to the joy of us having salvation in our future. Jesus, just watch this right now. Jesus was outside of time. Then he created time, stepped into time so that he would be on time to change time in the nick of time just for you and I. They used to sing that song, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. He knew exactly what he needed to do so that Marvin would be at the right position in the right place with his heart in the right posture to receive him. The joy that he talked about, the joy that he had, it was a future joy that we get to have right now. That joy is this joy that was set before him. Jesus modeled joy. See the joy of the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 11. John chapter 15, verse 11. Now, we're gonna peruse through the Bible a little bit today. Now, Pastor Mike is in here, and he's a theologian. He's a biblical scholar. And so we're going to do a little bussy riding today. Did you catch that? We're gonna walk through the Bible a little bit today. John chapter 15, verse 11. It says this: these things I have spoke to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. Now, as I look at this, if you're looking in your Bible or you're looking on your device, these words are in red. So who is speaking here? Jesus is saying, these things I spoke to you, that my joy, the joy that I have, the joy of the future, the joy of hope that I have, I'm going to give it to you. And not only am I going to give it to you, your life will be full. Your life will be complete with the joy that I'm going to give you. Some of you are walking around right now despondent and discouraged, and you shouldn't be, because the joy of the Lord should be your strength, not the circumstances that I'm sitting in, not what it looks like on the outside. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so the second point I want to share with you today, we have to be able to sit in the joy of the Lord. Receive it. Be filled. That's what it tells us in there. He says, I'm going to give you my joy. I want to fill you up with that. I got a little story. Can I share a story with you? No, this is a fictional story. All right. It's okay? I'm going to tell you a fictional story? All right. Say, for instance, that I get my wife a brand new car. Oh, she said, why is it fictional? Okay, all right. Okay, all right. She is on the front row. I forgot about that. She is on the front row. I say, I get my wife a brand new car. Now, in order, she can talk about it all. She went, oh, my husband got me a car, and I just got this car, and I love this car. Oh, I love this car. That's not how she talked, but that's how, in my head, that's what it is. I got this car. Now, she can talk about that car all she wants, but until she takes the keys to that car and sits in that car and drives that car and take ownership of that car, it's just words. I want to tell you the same thing. God is telling you, I'm going to give you my joy. I'm going to give you this peace. But if you don't sit in it, if you don't take it, if you don't receive it, it's doing you no good. And so God has given us the keys to this beautiful vehicle called joy. So receive it. Sit in it. Enjoy it. Take ownership of it. Look at somebody and say, it's yours. It's yours. God wants you to walk in his joy on a daily basis. That's why he has given us the Holy Spirit. Now understand this. Life is lifing. Let me say that one more time for folks. Life is lifing. Life is trying to steal your joy and your happiness. And if you're not careful, you will allow it, because you think joy and happiness are the same thing. But when you realize that joy and happiness aren't the same thing, no matter what the world does, it can't take your joy from you. Why? Because my joy is real. The old folks used to say this: this joy that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Yeah, this joy that I have, yeah, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. you need to understand that, that the joy that God has put inside of you, the joy that bubbles up on the inside, there's nothing that you really have to do but just allow the Holy Spirit to operate in your life. But we get consumed with life, and life begins to life. And we think, oh, man, this is taking my joy. It has stolen my joy. Nothing can steal your joy when you're relying on the Holy Spirit. Understand this. There is nothing that you can do outside of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how strong you are. It has to be the working of the Holy Spirit. That's why God tagged him in. When you got a tag team partner, you tag them in because they're going to help you out. Why tag them in if you're going to stay in the ring and keep doing something? Jesus has tagged in the Holy Spirit into your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. Psalm 16, it says this. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. When I sit in the presence of the Lord, I find joy. When I rest in the presence of the Lord, I find joy. My joy is complete, is full, is whole. It's not lacking anything. Why? Because I am allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell within me and it be evident. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Walk with me to Acts chapter 8. Walk with me to Acts chapter 8. I told you we're going to walk through the Bible just a little bit today. Walk with me to Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. You can put it on the screen here for us. All right. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowd with one accord paid attention. Remember that now, paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did for unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Now think about this. The Bible says that Philip goes into the city, and as he gets into the city, he begins to proclaim the name of Jesus. And it says many. I don't know how many is many. But many sounds like a lot. It says many unclean spirits begin to cry out and came out. And then it says there were some that were lame and some that were paralyzed. That don't sound like there's a lot of hope in this city, does it? It don't sound like there's a lot of joy in this city, does it? It sounds like it's a little bit discouragement. But when the word of God comes in, when the hope of glory comes in, everything has to change. That's what I love about the joy that God gives me, because it gives me hope. The Bible says there was much joy in that city. Why? Because they were able to hear the word of the Lord. And I want to share this with you. Sometimes, not only do we see the joy of the Lord, and not only do we sit in the joy of the Lord, sometimes we have to show the joy of the Lord. Walk with me right here. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. It says this. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Their joy was on display. When times are good, my joy is on display. When times are bad, my joy is on display. My situation, my circumstances may not look right now. Matter of fact, it's looking crazy. It's looking hopeless. But the joy of the Lord is. My money may be funny and my chains may be strange, but the joy of the Lord is. My marriage could be a step away from divorce court, but the joy of the Lord is. I just lost my job, but the joy of the Lord is. My heart is broken because I lost another loved one, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. I have hope on the other side of this. And man, I'm trying to told you, man, I get so excited about that, because this world is full of a lot of lost hope. I see young people all over the city. I've been, the Lord has blessed me to travel all over the country. And I've seen a lot of young people who don't have hope. There's no joy. Because their joy is predicated on what we would consider happiness. It can be taken. It can be stolen. It can be wiped out in just in any kind of instance. But the joy that we have is only sustained through what God did and not what we are doing. Psalms chapter 47, Psalms 47, verse number 1. It says, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Clap your hands, all people. Psalms 95 says this, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with what? Thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. The joy of the Lord should be on display in your life if you're walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It should be evident. We should be able to see it. Guess what? The world is watching you. Whether you believe it or not, the world is watching you. They're checking you out. They're trying to see how he going to act when this situation get crazy in here. He's supposed to be old church person. Let me see what they're going to do. Newsflash, real quickly, I want to tell you something right now. Some of y'all, boo and hiss. Y'all the meanest people in the world. And you say you love the Lord, but man, he just means he's just mad all the time. He's walking around. Every time somebody, how you doing, brother? Oh, well, this is going on and that's going on. How you doing, sister? Joy is nowhere near you. Matter of fact, when you walk in, joy takes an Uber across town. There's no joy in you. You can't tell me that the Holy Spirit is evident in your life when there is no joy. Now, understand this. I don't have to give you some type of fake joy. I know my smile might not be as bright as it always is when I'm walking through something, but I still got joy. I may not yell as loud as Pastor Marvin or sing as loud as Pastor Marvin, but I still got the joy of the Lord on the inside, even when I'm going through. Notice this. I am going through. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. John chapter 16, verse 20, it says this, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. Isaiah 61, 3, it says this, oh, I love this right here, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. The oil represents God's anointing, God's presence. The oil of joy, his presence, his joy, of the oil of joy for mourning. He's trading something that you got. I know that your heart is broken right now, but God wants to trade that sorrow for his joy. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He is trading something for you. See, God is not just going to come into your life and not give you anything. He wants to take the things that's not doing you any good, but he wants to also give you something that will bless you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Psalm 30, 11 says this. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Got my suit on today. This is my suit of joy. Some of y'all need to put your suit of joy on when you get up. Some of y'all still putting on that sackcloth of mourning. Some of y'all still putting on that sackcloth, oh, woe is me. Let me shed that garment off and put on the clothes of joy. Because I know that there is something on the other side of whatever I am walking through. I love this. And my final point, I want to share this with you today. We see the joy of the Lord. We sit in the joy of the Lord. We show the joy of the Lord. And then finally, we must share the joy of the Lord. Philippians 1:3, it says this. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is saying in his text, I thank God for you. As I remember you, I'm praying for you with all joy. Why am I sharing this joy with you? Because I understand that we share in the same cause. We share in the same journey that we're walking in, the joy of the Lord. Understand this. The world needs what you have. If you had the cure to cancer, would you share it? If you had the cure to leukemia, would you share it? So if I have the cure to depression and anxiety and all these other kind of things, why don't I share that? God has given us this beautiful gift of joy, and there's nothing to share it. You know, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God comes to Cain after he has taken his brother's life. He says, hey, Cain, where's your brother at? And you know, like us, we get arrogant. Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, stupid. That's why he asked you the question. You are your brother's keeper. Your brother may not be strong all the time. So sometimes, come here, Ethan. Quick. Come on. I love this young man. Come on up on the stage. I love this young man. Come on up here. I love this young man right here. Because every time I see him, I see the joy of the Lord on him. Now, when Pastor Marvin sometimes comes in and we have our charge group, and I come in and I'm a little just, you know, hey, I'm just smoking through. I see him, and that's what he do right there. Is it that right there? Joker? But what it is that the joy of the Lord that's inside of him is infectious. And so he begins to say, hey, Pastor Marvin, how you doing? Let me pray for you. The joy, when I'm weak, my brother stands beside me. He can be strong. Some of you are trying to do it on your own, and God has never called you to. Don't go nowhere. Come on back over here, Joker. God has placed some people in your life. Are you sharing the joy that he has given you? Some of you are anointed with joy. Are you sharing that? I love this young man to life right here. Why? Because he doesn't allow the moment and the situation to overwhelm him, even when he's going through. He comes in with a smile. So how you doing, man? Hey, I got another day, Pastor. I got another day. The joy of the Lord. Is this you? Are you sharing what God has given you? Everybody's not going to always be strong. They're going to need another hand. Will you be that today? Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. As I close, you may be in this place today. And you say, Pastor, you taught me how to see the joy of the Lord. Pastor, you taught me how to sit in the joy of the Lord. Pastor, you taught me how to show the joy of the Lord, even to share the joy of the Lord. But Pastor, I don't have the joy of the Lord. The only way that you can have this joy that we talk about that is sustaining is if you have to surrender your life to the Lord. You know, this is what I thought when I was a little child. When I was a little child. You see how I did that, Pastor Mike? Little child. When I was a little child, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. And they would tell us that the only way that you knew that you had the Holy Spirit is you had to speak in tongues. That we would tell them. But jokers would speak in tongues but didn't step outside and curse you out. So the tongues that you said that you were speaking in, they didn't do no good. It wasn't no evidence of the Holy Spirit. To me, that wasn't. But what I realized as I look at the scripture, I see how God and the Holy Spirit operates. He is doing something on the inside, so my character has to change. I shouldn't be saying the same things. I shouldn't be doing the same things. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is on the inside. The Holy Spirit is doing something. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside, that's because you have not surrendered your life to the Lord. Because when you surrender your life to the Lord and say, Lord, would you be the Savior? He passes him on. Phew, high five. And he comes into your life like the ultimate warrior, shaking the ring. You may be in this place today and you say, Pastor, I don't have that joy, but I want it. You would bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're in this room today and you say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord as my Savior. Man, I want that joy that you were screaming and stomping and yelling about today. I want that joy. I don't have it. The world is overwhelming me. I want that type of joy. I would that you would just surrender your life to the Lord today. Just repeat this prayer after me. Father, I'm a sinner. I'm tore up from the floor up. I need you. I repent of my sins and I do a 180. I turn away and I turn to you. Would you be my Lord and Savior? Would you come into my heart and allow me to be your son or your daughter? In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, listen to me. There's nothing special about those words. Those words, they ain't no magic words. They ain't no fairy dust on that. It's the heart behind what you just said that makes the difference. And if your heart was intending to really receive the Lord, there's a party going on in heaven right now. Cool and the Gang singing, celebrate. No, just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. There's a celebration going on in heaven right now because you made that commitment. But you may be in this room and say, you know what, Pastor? I've been walking with the Lord a long time, and I don't see that joy in my life anymore. I'm walking through some difficult things, and I don't see that joy. I want to pray for you. So would you, if that's you today, Father, your sons and your daughters are in this room today. And God, they desire to allow the Holy Spirit to be evident in their life through joy. Life is lifing and it's tossing them to and fro. But God, would you allow them to rest in you as we learned last week? Rest in your love and allow your Holy Spirit to dwell within them. Come upon them. God, happiness is fleeting, but your joy is everlasting. We're praying for the joy of the Lord to be their strength today. Would you overwhelm them with your joy today, even as they're walking through a difficult situation? Would you let the joy of the Lord wash over you today, Mama Moore? The joy of the Lord is my strength. We thank you that you have walked in this room today. And you didn't walk into this room today just because you walked in here. You walked in here because God wanted you to hear that he has a gift for you that is ever present. He just wants you to receive it. And that's the joy of the Lord. Let it be your strength.